Blog Talk Radio.
I blame it on BYU.
You're wearing your
BYU blue shaded glasses this morning, I take it.
And my BYU goggles. My blue goggle alert.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, Bobby, we've got everything taken care of, so if you would kindly remove those goggles and step up to the mic here and let everybody know who's hot and who's not.
Can you believe that for the Angels, they're in first place? They've passed the Astros, and the other thing is, how hot are Zach Greinke and Clayton Kershaw? What an amazing pair of pitchers. I never thought I would ever say Kershaw and Greinke, but they actually, it has the same kind of fear in opposing players that I think Koufax and Drysdale used to. They are just, they're rolling. I think, what's it been, a month since we last saw either one of those guys give up a run? Just amazing.
I don't know, but I wish I could see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, I apologize. We get to see it here, and we get to enjoy it, and it's just, it's simply superb. Kershaw last night was artistic, and I mean, it was a thing of beauty for baseball fans everywhere, except in Southern California.
All right. And who's not hot?
Well, there's a couple of pitchers, relief pitchers. Dale Thayer and Neftali Feliz are formerly the Rangers. But these guys couldn't get an out if somebody fell out of a plane. I'm telling you, I used to think that, like, you know, the worst major league pitcher could maintain an ERA of, like, under 6, you know, 5-something, 5.9. Not these guys. These guys, as soon as somebody comes in, it's like it's a concession triple. These guys give up runs in bushels. And Feliz, I think, gave up a 4-run lead, 5-run lead the other night. Having a dreadful run as the setup guy for the Tigers. But that's just bad news for those teams right now. Thayer's on the Padres.
Well, there's a reason why the Rangers got rid of Feliz. They dropped him for nothing. He's lost his velocity. You know, he just doesn't have any more velocity, and it's sad because as a Ranger fan, the scene of him striking out Alex Rodriguez with a knee buckling slider to send the Rangers to their first World Series ever in 2010 is still a staple of the team, that scene right there. And for him to just completely to have lost it now is sad.
Well, I think anybody sending Rodriguez to his knees is worth tuning in and watching.
Well, you got we give Alex Rodriguez his due. This year the guy's come back. I mean, he may be 39 years old, he's going to be 40, but he is at least a major league hitter this year, and he's got some major league pop.
Bobby, I got to agree with you, but you know what? I'll never admit it. I'll never admit it. I mean, yeah, congratulations to the guy. He did make it successful so far, and he's contributed to the team. But I'll never forget what he did.
Hey, have you noticed that Bryce Harper has been getting the Barry Bonds treatment from National League teams now? They will not pitch to him in any meaningful way. I mean, he's getting unintentional, intentional walk, where they're throwing the ball not necessarily in the same county whenever he comes up to the plate.
Well, that was predictable. Remember I told you that back in May, Bobby, that was going to start happening. And the same with the Giants. They got to go out and they got to get somebody to put behind them. Simple as
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Without that, it ends up being you end up being like a one-legged monster that people just work around. You know, they just say, You've only got one leg. I can go around that, and that's what everybody's doing. And until they find somebody that makes them pay, they find their Jeff Kent or their Mickey Mantle, Roger Maris, Lou Gehrig. Till they find that guy, they're going to be hamstrung at least on offense, because right now it doesn't work. As good as I like Cabrera, it does not work. I mean, as much as I like Escobar, it does not work with him batting behind Bryce Harper.
No, he's not the threat that Harper is. He hits for average, but he's not going to hurt you like with a guy who's got some pop in his bat.
Yeah, they were walking. They walked Bryce Harper yesterday. When he was the go-ahead run in the eighth inning, and that's just unheard of. That's, like I said, that's Barry Bonds treatment. But as you said, Hondo, you predicted it, and they've got to find some thunder to protect Bryce Harper.
Yep.
Or it's gonna they're gonna have to scratch for runs all year long, which is okay, because that's the way teams get to the World Series.
You know, guys, what about the American League West, the race that's developing here?
I give the Astros credit. The Angels passed them, took a two-game lead. Now the Astros have caught them again. They're tied this morning in the standings, and the Astros went out and made a bold move. They went out and got Scott Kazmir for their rotation. And that's going to help them. He already last night paid immediate dividends with seven shutout innings and got the win in beating Kansas City 4-0. Kazmir is going to help that team. And now it's up to the Angels. And they got a guy now calling the shots, Bill Stoneman. I don't know if it's Stoneman calling the shots more than Sosa or what, but Stoneman has a track record at the trade deadline of sitting pat. When he was the general manager of the Angels, he made very, very few moves. And the Angels, they need to do something to counter what the Astros did with Kazmir. And we'll see what Stoneman does. But he does not have a history of making bold moves.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. This is the time of year that's always fun to sit and listen to the talking heads saying what should and shouldn't be done, the moves that should be made and shouldn't, you know. Guys, we got a little bit of time here. If you guys could put on a GM cap and get behind the desk, what's one move that you would make for any team right now that you think is going to put them over the top?
I think the Dodgers have to get one of those starting pitchers out there that's available, either Cueto, Hamels, or Price of the Tigers. If Dodgers can get one of those three and put them together with Kershaw and Greinke, then they are a major force to beat in the playoffs to have those three going in the playoffs. And I know that they don't want to give up their young shortstop prospect, Seager. They don't want to give up the young teenage left-hander that they have, Urias, I believe his name is. But I still think they have enough talent where maybe they can do something. And you got to remember, a kid like Urias is a teenage pitcher with all that talent. The chances are more than 50-50. He's never going to make it in the major leagues. He's a prospect for one reason, because he hasn't done anything yet in the major leagues. Whereas these guys available have. The Dodgers are built to win now. They have to win now, and they have to go out and get one of those three guys. What do you think, Bobby?
Well, it's a short window when a team can win and can get to the World Series. And how often do you have it set up with two guys on the front end of your rotation like Greinke and Kershaw? They scare. There's no team in baseball that scares the Cardinals or the Giants like the Dodgers do. I think that really the team that's going to win it or surprise us this year is the team that goes and picks Detroit's pocket. and gets David Price and maybe another piece from the Tigers, because the Tigers, for some reason, they've decided they're sellers when they're only a couple of games from the wild card. Well, that's okay. Let them do that. But I think that the Tigers have said, here, come pluck us. We're ready to sell. And I think that's the team that wins. I mean, I would be camping on the Tiger doorstep and trying to glean everything I could from that team. And they have some pieces that could really help. They have some really, really attractive pieces.
Well, we're talking about the Nationals needing a bat, and supposedly they're going to make Cespedes available. There's a guy for the Nationals to go after, is Cespedes to bat behind Harper.
Oh, absolutely. He would be, and he would do better in the Nationals park than he does with the Tigers. I think it's Comerica.
Right.
He would do much better there. I think he might finally be in a, you know, Cespedes is one of those guys where if he would go to Colorado or go to Texas, I think he suddenly becomes a 300 hitter, and he's a third, and he'd be a 30 home run guy.
All right, guys, we've come to that part of the show where we need to take a time out. Let's go out to Del Mar real quick before we do and give out our free play. Don't forget, we're back to the 2:05 p.m. post out at Del Mar where the turf meets the surf, and we're going to go to the third race here, the Fleet Treat Stakes. And go here with number 4, Missy Mouse. This is a horse that is in sharp form at the moment. Eddie Truman's having a outstanding year thus far. Drayden Van Dyke, we all know who he is. And we're suggesting a couple of bucks to win in place on Missy Moose in the third race, number 4. Out at Del Mar. If you're heading out to the track or want to pick up the phone, call your neighborhood friend, get down a couple of bucks, win a place. Third race, Del Mar, number 4, Missy Moose. All right, after a quick timeout, we will be back, and then we're going to have Boppy put on his cardigan sweater, and we're going to head off to Boppy's Corner for his NCAA pigskin preview.
A little less conversation, a little more action, please. All this aggravation ain't satisfaction in me. A little more bite, a little less bark, a little less fight, a little more spark. Close your mouth and open up your heart, and baby, satisfy me. Satisfy me, baby. Baby, close your eyes and listen to the music. Dig to the summer breeze. It's a groovy night and I can show you how to use it. Then come along with me and put your mind at ease. Hey! Less conversation, a little more action, please. All this aggravation ain't satisfaction in me. A little more bite, a little less spark. A little less bite, a little more spark. Close your mouth and open up your heart. And baby, satisfy me. Satisfy me, baby. Come on, baby, I'm tired of talking. Grab your coat and let's start walking. Come on, come on.
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 Don't procrastinate, don't articulate, girl.
All right, fans, we are back. Part 2, Keeping Score with Boppy. I'm Eddie the Hat. In the studio, we have Hondo with us. Big Boppy himself. Boppy, can I help you on with your cardigan sweater?
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. And just give me some room because I'm wearing those blue goggles. We're going to preview BYU. The Cougars this is a make or break year. This is the year where they either put up or shut up about do they belong with the big boys or not. They play Missouri. They play UCLA. They play Michigan. They play Nebraska. I mean, this is a schedule, and Boise State. This is a big time marquee schedule. And if this is a team where if they go undefeated or they lose one game, then they're in the national conversation. But also, on the other hand, if they lose all those games, they become Villanova, or they become Temple. They're just an opponent. So the thing is, they have a piece on their team that sets them apart, that makes them extraordinary. They have a chance to be really special because of Taysom Hill. He's maybe the best running quarterback BYU has ever had. And I know that includes Steve Young and Brandon Doman, but he is maybe the best running quarterback they have ever had. And he is competent enough as a passer to really be a threat. And he's improved his passing each of the years he's been at BYU. So I think Taysom Hill sets them apart and gives them a chance. They have two must-win games if they want to be relevant. They have to win the game, their opening game against Nebraska, and they have to win their home game against Boise State. The two toughest games on their schedule, which I think, I don't know if they're winnable or not, are that's going to be against UCLA on the road and also playing at the Big House at Michigan. Those two games, I don't know if they can win them, but they need that would really put them on the map to win either of those two games. That's where they are this year. They're going to have a good defense. Bronco Mendenhall, the head coach, took over the defense. He's taking over the defense again. The real question for them, it's going to come down to whether they can run the ball without using Taysom Hill as a second and six runner. They have to be able to use Hill to break games on third and fourth down situations, but not to be a first and ten runner, not to be a second and five runner. Anyway, that's where BYU is. They got a good defense, but Taysom Hill is the ball game, and if he wins, they could have a special season.
Now, Bobby, I want to know about you're talking about they have a good defense. Every time I saw BYU play last year in the bowl game, they gave up 50 points. Now, where's the improvement going to come in defense?
Let's hope that it comes on the scoreboard.
Where are the players? What's going to make this defense different?
I really do. I like their defensive end, Bronson Kafusi. He's a basketball player who left basketball, and he's now full-time on the gridiron. Great. He's got the kind of athleticism that Ziggy Ansah that went to the Detroit Lions, and that Kyle Van Noy, who also I think is on the Lions, that they have. He has great defensive quickness. Hopefully, we've got some improved speed, because one of the things that BYU has lacked for years has been team speed. But hopefully that our defensive team speed has gotten better, so that we're, so in other words, instead of talking about their grit, we're talking about their skill, because that's usually what happens. When you're not fast, people talk about your heart or your grit. Well, hopefully we're going to talk about their skill rather than their grit, and that's I think that speed and athleticism are the two things that will make their team better, because that's where they've hurt. They've been hurt in the past, whether it's been by a Boise State or a Houston or Central Florida or Florida State. They've been hurt because they couldn't keep up. I think this year they can, and it's just a question to me this year. The biggest question is not on defense. The question is, well, can they run the football without using Taysom Hill as a second down back?
All right. Who are we going to be previewing next week as a little bit of a teaser?
I think next week we're going to go to the Big Ten. We're going to talk a little bit about them, not Michigan next week, but we'll talk about Iowa, and we'll talk about Wisconsin.
Okay. All right. I've got a free play today in baseball, and it's not hard to figure out, folks. We're going to go to the New York Mets, and for those of you who have followed my picks personally, know that I love pitchers that are coming off long layoffs, making their major league debuts, and we have that here with the Dodgers versus the Mets today. We have a young man by the name of Lee, a right-hander who's coming back. Last time he was seen was 114 days ago. And, folks, sometimes my theory is that teams will struggle first time against when they see a pitcher. And this is the case here. We have the right scenario. The Dodgers are plus +115, offers good value. And the Mets, let's face it, the Mets are downright horrible. And they have a horrible record. They have no offense. And I'm going to take a chance here, roll the dice with the Dodgers. 905 with Lee on the bump, plus +115. That's our free play today. And Hondo, do you have anything that that you like?
Not really, but I think the kid that's pitching for the Dodgers today, you said Zach Lee?
Yes.
Has been a highly touted prospect, pitched well this year in AAA, so I think that's a good play. I think he's got a chance today with the injuries to the Dodgers staff to pick up the ball and run with it. So I think that's going to be a strong play of the Dodgers today. I wanted to ask Boppy something.
My only concern is hopefully we won't have to have Don Mattingly make any important baseball decisions.
Well, there is that.
Yeah. As long as we can stay away from that, we might be okay. All right, go ahead.
Boppy, I want you to, in the past I've ripped BYU for playing a cupcake schedule, and you certainly can't rip them this year. I applaud them for stepping up, and they really have stepped up even more than would be expected with that schedule that they've got this year. But I want you to take off your BYU glasses for a minute and give me your prediction after the fourth week of the year. I think their fourth game is UCLA at the Rose Bowl. What their record will be after that fourth game without your BYU glasses?
I think it's going to be 2-2.
2-2?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's respectable. I think personally, well, you know what? I can't really say, so I'm not gonna. But
given who they're playing, I agree,
Bobby. You guys are. That schedule that you guys have is tough. So I wish you guys well. All right, couple minutes left. Go ahead, open it up and get anything that you guys want to get off your mind here. We have about 2 minutes left.
I can't get over the double standard that we're working under as in sports journalists, because Colin Cowherd gets suspended for alluding to the fact that baseball isn't a hard sport. Look at all the Dominicans that are playing. You know, I mean, that's what he said, and so now he's persona non grata, and his show was canceled at ESPN. At the same time, Charles Haley can come into the 49ers camp and tells all of the players, the black players, to act like white guys. Why isn't there a double? Why isn't the world coming down on his head? But that's what he said. And Hulk Hogan is still suffering from an 8-year-old charge of a racial pejorative he uttered during a private sex video. We've gone absolutely daffy. I'm so grateful that there are games today where there can be results rather than politics. Thank you.
All right. Well, I agree, Bobby, but you know what? What can you do? All right. It's that time of day, Bobby, for you to go ahead and say it.
Be safe, be careful, and God bless. Lord willing, we'll see you next week.
All right. And, folks, we will be back same time, same place next week. Hondo, thank you for joining us.
All right, guys.
And, folks, until next week, good luck with your wagers, and we hope to see you standing with us in the cashier's line.